You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Psalm 119, you're going to need to take some notes tonight eventually, but just keep them right there. Don't pass them out yet, ushers. If you'll just keep them handy, I'll call for them a little bit later. Probably about two and a half, three hours from now, I'll call for them, and that'll be fine. School is almost out, teachers, and, well, there's no students in here, but high school and elementary school. You go to noon tomorrow, right? I'm looking, is that right, noon tomorrow? And then noon on Friday. And college students are still in finals. High schoolers are still in finals. And I hope that you're doing your very, very best. I want to have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Our Father, I'm very excited about these 4 weeks that I have with my people, and I pray that I do everything possible to get them ready for 2026. May it be the greatest year of their life, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when you're getting ready for a trip, you're going to go somewhere. You get everything set. You pack. You get the suitcase down from the attic or from the closet or from the room or wherever you keep it. You pack. You get your clothing set. You get your shoes set. You get all the accessories. It's kind of a big deal because you're going on a trip. And so it is next year. We're going on a trip, ushers. You can be seated right there. We're going on a trip next year, and I want it to be the very best trip you've ever enjoyed. We're going down on a trip. We're going on a trip to the Word of God, to prayer, to soul winning, to faithfulness to God, to stewardship. Amen. And I want to have all that packed in. Tonight, if you're listening online, I hope you get ready to take some notes. We're going to go to start in Psalm. We're going to end up in James here in a few moments with Psalm 119. Psalm 119 has 176 verses. The Word of God is mentioned in all but five of those verses. But the Word of God is mentioned by the word statutes, judgments, commandments, law, the Word. It's out of 176 verses, it's mentioned 177 times. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. And I hope that you have a habit of reading it every single month. But Psalm 119, I want you to read with me several verses, and I've just chosen some that are very special to me. How about verse number nine? Ready? Let's read together. Ready? Begin. Wherewithal? You want your way cleansed? You're going to have to get in the Word of God. D.L. Moody said, this book could keep you from sin, or sin could keep you from this book. How about verse 11? Ready? Begin. How about verse 18? Ready? Begin. Look at verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, thy way, thy statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. How about verse 50? This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. It's made me alive. If you're dead and you're depressed and you're discouraged and you're defeated and you're not full of thanksgiving, it's because you don't have the Word of God in your heart. God's people need God's word. Look what the Bible says in verse number 72. Let's read 72 together. Ready? The law of thy mouth. Can you say that I'd rather have the Word of God than big bank accounts? Amen. I'd rather have the Word of God than 401ks. Amen. I'd rather have the Word of God than my large savings account. I'd rather have the Word of God than silver or gold. How about verse number 81? Here's a good verse. Ready? Begin. My soul fainteth for thy salvation. How about 89? I love 89. Ready? Begin. Forever, O Lord. How about if you will, 97? We're getting toward the end of it. Verse 97, ready, begin. How about 105, ready, begin. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. How about 129? Ready? Begin. Thy testimonies are wonderful. How about 140? Psalm 119, 140. Ready? Begin. Thy word is very pure. How about 159? Let's go to 159, shall we? Ready? Begin. How about 165? Ready? Begin. God's word is so very clear. If you want to have success in life, you want to have joy in your heart, you want to have vision, you want to have a purpose for living, you're going to have to get in the word of God.
Amen.
The older I get, and I pulled today, I had so many books on my desk, I pull them off my shelves, and I'm looking up this word or that word, I'm using my library, but not like I use my Bible. I want to be in this book, and I want to study this book, and I want to read this book. I think I told the college students, I didn't preach in high school today. I preached in college today, and I told them, my program is probably nothing compared to yours, but I read every day the proverb of today. Today was the 10th day, so I read Proverbs 10. This Sunday will be the 14th, so I'll read Proverbs 14. And there's 31 Proverbs, so we read it every day. Most of us in this room do that. Then I read, for me, five Psalms a day, because in five Psalms times 30 days, it's 150. I can get through the book of Psalms every month. And January 1st, I'll start over Psalm 1 through 5. But I started today and I read about 10 chapters in 2 Samuel is my study right now. And I just, God's word just was working in my heart, coming alive. You know, all of us have. I was talking to a member tonight earlier, he's had some sins, but we all do, besetting sins. I got thinking of David a lot today. How David, he was a man after God's own heart. He was the best king. He was a man after God's heart. But his besetting sin must have been women. Michael, he eyed her and took her. Abigail, he took her. Bathsheba, he took her. That was his besetting sin. Maybe not. I wonder what your besetting sin is. Letter A, anger, or B, bitterness, or C, carnality, or deceit, or envy, or jealousy. What? I don't know what sin you have. I do know what my besetting sin is. It besets me, and nobody else, I'm never going to tell anybody in life. I just know what it is. And I know the sin that so easily besets us. It easily sidetracks us. Don't be sitting here today all self-righteous and I don't have any sins. What sins are you talking about? I have no sin. I'm perfect. Well, God bless you. I'd like you to rub off on my life. And I've not done anything to disqualify me from pastoring this church. But we all have a besetting sin. Maybe it's fear. You ever think of that? God's not giving us a spirit of fear.
Amen.
And this book keeps you centered on righteousness and holiness and godliness and Christian living. This book will. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of James, please. The gospel, the book of James. We're going to use James tonight. And Psalm 119 was our starting point. As we get ready for 2026, we must do so much with the Word of God. You must be in the Old Testament, the New Testament. You must be in word studies. You need to be in the Psalms, in Proverbs. I don't know school teachers. Mrs. Kissel is a school teacher. I don't know if it's too much to ask for a third grader. They can read, obviously, kindergarten. Could they read a proverb a day, or is that too much for a third grader? Is that okay? It'd be all right, third grader. Get your kids started. Talking, have a family discussion before Christmas or after Christmas or during Christmas, or around the Christmas tree, and let's talk about spiritually. What are you gonna accomplish with the Word of God? Amen. You know, it takes 3 chapters a day. That's nothing.
Amen.
3 chapters a day, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, maybe as many as 10 minutes. I don't think it'd take 10 minutes to read 3 chapters a day.
Right.
3 chapters. Don't you have 10 minutes for God?
Amen.
Three chapters, and you'll read from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year's time. As you leave out tonight, I believe the ushers have them at their stations, or they have them in the back, or they're somewhere. We have a Bible reading schedule. We'll pass them out in January again. But I want you to start to look at that Bible reading schedule for the entire Word of God. We have a children's Bible that they read Psalms and Proverbs. We have the 30-day Bible. And some of you ought to pick that up back there and say, I'm going to get into the 30-day Bible. I'm going to read the Bible through in 30 days. Amen. It's great. The Word of God is so powerful. And I want you to look with me in the book of James tonight. I'm going to give you an outline that I learned when I was 13 years of age. My pastor's wife was, I never heard of a youth pastor in my life. Never heard of him until I went to college. And I met Ron Allen, who was a youth pastor. Ron just passed away in Georgia. And Joe Mark. I met those two youth pastors. First time ever I heard him preach. It was phenomenal. But I never knew. We didn't have youth pastors in America. And these two men preached, and I was just enamored with it. Well, we didn't have staff. We just had a church running about 500 with our pastor and his wife. And they just were involved with our youth, especially the pastor's wife. She taught us how to play trumpet. She taught us how to sing. She had a youth choir. We practiced it. She taught us how to work in the nursing home. She taught us how to work in backyard Bible clubs. But the biggest thing, she organized camp, and our pastor conducted camp up in Idaho for always 10 days. And we went there, and they just had us in, I've got all the notebooks, and they just had us in the Word of God. In the afternoon, we'd have some activities, but long services and long devotion times. They believe that every teenager should read the Bible for 1 hour a day and pray. And I never did it. I wanted to, Brother Harris. I see the notes. I pulled my camp books out this past week, and I was looking at them, and I see little drawings and doodling around. I could keep my attention for about maybe 30 minutes, but not for an hour. And you know, if your child cannot spend an hour, or they can't even spend a half hour, get them started with 10 or 15 minutes. And I learned this little outline from my pastor's wife. And I look back at the notes. I'm going to give you the words in just a moment, the notebook, the paper they're going to hand out to you. But she said, take about 6, 8, 10, maybe 12 verses a day. So let's take chapter 1. How many verses in chapter 1? How many verses? Talk to me. James chapter 1. How many verses in chapter 1? 27. So that would be 14 for one day and 13 the next day. That'd be a lot of verses. But on Monday, you want to take James chapter 1 and study chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, and just study those. I'm going to give you how to study them in a moment. Then the second day, you want to take James chapter 1, verse number 15 through 27, and you want to study that. Chapter 2, how many verses in chapter 2? How many? 26. What's 2 days? How much would that be each day? 13 and 13. And so on your third day and fourth day, you're going to study 13 verses and another 13 verses the next day. What's chapter 3? How many chapters? 18. So that would be what? 9 and 9. So you're going to study 9 verses on Friday and 9 verses on Saturday. What about chapter 4? How many chapters? How many verses? 17. What is it? 17. 17. Yeah, 17. So divide by 2, so that would be how many? The large number on the first day, how many? 9. And the second day? 8. One more, so that's got you up to about more than a week. How about the last chapter? How many verses in the last chapter? 20. So let's see. Divide by 2, 20. That would be 15 and 5. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Let's divide it. Divide it by 2. What is it? 10 and 10. And she would say, you don't need to read all the Bible. Our pastor would school us on it also. You don't need to read all the Bible, but you need to read a portion of the Bible that you really study. I did this method from age 13 to about the time I came to this church. Probably about, 12 years or so. I just did it every single day. In Bible college, I did this. I looked for these things. Sometimes I wrote it down, and I'd suggest you write it down. Most of the time, I'd write it in my Bible. But I studied my Bible for at least 12 or 13 years this way. Now, I don't study this way anymore, but you know what? It's a habit in my life. I do study the Bible this way. I look for words that reoccur. I look for statements that reoccur. I look for themes that reoccur. And I want you to have the ushers pass you out a piece of paper, and I want you to jot these things down. And we're going to see in the last few moments we have together if we can find these words. So ushers, go quickly, if you will. And I want to start in chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 12. Let's read them together as they pass those out. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. Let's read it together. Ready, begin. James, a servant of God, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse number 8, ready, begin. A double-minded man but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth as grass. So the first thing I want you to write down is, everybody have a piece of paper up in the balcony? Do you have them up there? Monica, I'm glad to see you home. She was at her mother's, Liz Carey's funeral, and I'm so thankful for your parents. Talked to your dad on the phone. He's a sweet man. And I prayed for you folks as well. Glad you're back home. Did we miss anybody up there? We got them all, Randy. Everybody's got them up there. How about on the lower floors? Everybody, who's missing one? All right, the first word you want to write down is summary. You want to summarize the text. What did you see? Here's what we do. We read the Bible, and we can read a chapter, or two chapters, or five chapters, or 10 chapters, and we have no idea what we read, but we read the Bible. Perhaps we ought to maybe sometime read out loud. It keeps your mind more in tune. If you were to summarize, someone help me with this. Well, I'll summarize it for you, the first one, and we'll see how we do on the next words. If I was going to summarize this text, I want you to see verse number 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That word patience deals with endurance. The trying of your faith. Look at the verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation or testing. Those two verses go together. That sort of summarizes this text. These 14 verses we're looking at, they sort of lay it out for us that God will bless your life as you endure trials and temptations and struggles. As you go through that sickness that you're going through. I was talking to one of our good members this past week. He's watching right now. I know he is. And he has Parkinson's now. And his wife fell this week, and he fell this week. But I'll tell you what, as they can, they are going to be in God's house. They'll drive a long distance to get here. They love this church. They didn't make it Sunday. They both had injuries. But they said, Pastor, we love North Valley. We just love North Valley. We love our church. We love you. And we want to invest in it more than ever. I'm not interested in their best, but I'm interested in their life. Well, you know, they're going through trials. They both are. They're going through temptations. And I think this text deals with the struggles that we go through in life. Look at the next word I want you to write down. So the word summary, summarize the text, sort of put it together, read it. You may have to go back and read it again. So I got to think about summary. The second word is a command. Do I find in this text, maybe you'll find a command, maybe you won't find a command. But I find that normally you can find a command. Let's look together. Do you see a command? Well, verse 2 is a command. Let's read it together. My brethren. There's that word temptation. Verse 12 is temptation, trials. Divers is different temptations. And there's a command. God says, count it joy. When you go through sorrows in life, don't be depressed about it.
Amen.
Don't be discouraged about it. Don't be defeated about it. God is working all things together for good in your life. God is sovereign. God has a plan for your life. God has a will for my life. And I want His will more than I want my own will. I hope that's true. And so there is a command. Do you see any other commands? I see verse 4 as a command. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting. That tells me there is a command. Jack, slow down. Listen to me. Let patience, let endurance have her perfect work, complete in your life. How about this? Verse 5 is a command. If any of you lack wisdom, what's the next phrase? Let him ask God for it. That's a command.
Yeah.
I start every appointment with prayer, and I end every appointment with prayer. Did it so many times today. I just meet with people. I always have prayer, and I end with prayer. But I always ask, as we're going into this appointment, God, give me wisdom. What is wisdom? It's discernment. I don't know what this person's going to tell me. I don't know what the trials are. Maybe sometimes I do. But I don't want to try to just give advice. Well, I'll tell you what, I think I'd do this. Sometimes I have to say, I cannot give you a word from God on this. I cannot give you any wisdom. But could you give me a week or two to pray about this situation? Well, I got to find out today. Well, if you have to find out today, I probably can't give you the answer. I need the mind of God on this thing.
Amen.
I don't want to counsel you just flippantly, carelessly. I want to know that God is working. And there have been so many times that people will say to me, Senator, already this week, say, I've been thinking the exact same thing you've been telling me. That's exactly what I'm thinking. Well, that authenticates God is in our midst. Is there a command in this text? And you're going to go through this text and look for commands. Look at the next word. Is there a sin? I don't see a sin in verses 1 through 12. Do you see a double-minded man? I do see a sin if we've kept going on. Verse 13, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. That's a sin. For every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. That's a sin. Do you see in verses 1 through 12? Maybe you do. Maybe I'm missing it. Does anybody see a sin mentioned?
No.
You see, sometimes you won't find these words I'm giving you. You won't find a command. Most of the time you will. You won't find a sin. How about the next word, number 4? A promise. Does God make a promise? Who has a promise in this text? Who can raise your hand? I can see a promise right here, right off the bat. Who has a promise? How about verse number 5? Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally. That's a promise. Who does he give this wisdom to? Who does he give it to? It says right there in the text. Who does he give it to? Some men? All men. God says, I give it to all of you. The most intelligent person in this room can have wisdom. and the one that's barely can read, and you're an adult, can have wisdom. Just have to ask God for it. And God gives his, how does he give it to us? How does God give us wisdom? Liberally. And upbraideth not. When God says he upbraideth not, it means there's no reproach. God's not looking at perfection. God's looking for a man that's asking for wisdom. I wish I could live a perfect, flawless life. But none of us can. But God still says, Jack, if you'll ask wisdom, I will give it to you. Well, is there another promise in the verse? How about verse number 8? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I often tell single people this verse, because here's a single man, he wants to get married, and here's a single girl, and she's nobody in sight. And so they begin to figure this thing out. If I do this, if I do that, that's having two minds. That's having the mind of Christ and the mind of the flesh. And God says you'll be unstable in all your ways. Sometimes I'll ask a person this question in counseling with them. Do you feel like you're two-minded right now? You have this mind and you have this mind? Because if you do, God's word says you're unstable in all your ways. That's a hard thing for me to ask somebody, quite frankly. That's difficult, because someone has to get honest with God. And they'll say sometimes, I am unstable. And I'm not in a position to make a decision. I said, well, then that's good you recognize it. Let's get yourself in a position that God can answer your prayer. Is there a promise? Number five, is there a thanksgiving? Well, verse 2 is a thanksgiving. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Verse 8 is a thanksgiving. A double-minded man's unstable in all his way. Verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Verse 12 is a thanksgiving. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation. When he is tried, he'll receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And the last one is number 6. Is there an example? Verse 1 is an example. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. These people were scattered abroad. Verse 8 is an example. Verse 26 and 27 is an example. We won't go there. But those are verses that we're not studying tonight. I'm suggesting tonight that you just study the Bible. You know what? I've got a ton of these Bible notebooks. If you want, well, I'll give you one. But you know those little... It's a little bit larger than a Bible. You get them at Walmart for 97 cents. They're the little paper-bound ones, you know, and they have rule lines on it. Why don't you go buy one of those? Amen. for the month of January, February, March? You probably could take one for 97 cents and get it, or a notebook, you know, spiral notebook. And why don't you write at the top, January 1st, 2026. And then write in there your Bible scripture reading. Maybe you're going to do the book of James like we talked about tonight. Maybe you're going to study 12, 8, 10, 12 verses a day. And write these notes down. Keep these notes and say, I'm going to look for these things in this book. And then mark your Bible and let your Bible mark you. And then maybe right below it, say, I'm praying about this today. Here's what I'm praying about. You know, my wife and I are so burdened. She is sitting right over there 1 year ago tomorrow in church, and we got word her brother, Dwayne, had just passed away. We weren't expecting it. And we're waiting for a call tonight, 1 year later, for her younger brother. He's a pastor. He's going to pass away. And it's just so sad to hear, probably tonight or tomorrow, maybe the same day, his older brother passed away. Well, that's a burden for us. Write that down in your prayer list. Today I'm praying for Calvin, my brother, that his home going be real sweet with the Lord. What are the things you're praying about? Today, Lord, I'm praying for my fear. I'm just afraid. I'm afraid. I'm praying for a job. I'm praying for a mate. I pray that God would give me a mate. I believe this is true. I believe Tim, I'm looking at my wife. I think he said he was 13 maybe I'm wrong, but I think he said he was 13, and he began to pray for a wife. Was that the age? I think he was 13. And he started praying every day that God would give him exactly the right mate. Are you praying? See, I want to get married. Are you praying for a mate, a godly mate that'll serve God, a man that'll be true to you, a lady that'll be true to you? Are you praying for that? And so I want us to pack up, get ready to go. Because on January 1st, I want us all in the Bible. I'd love to be a Bible-thumping church.
Amen!
Where every single person here is reading their Bible. And God is speaking to your heart from the Bible. And it may be 8 verses a day or 10 verses a day, but you're getting something out of the Bible. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I want to thank you for these dear people. Lord, they've listened so carefully. And I thank you for our listeners that are listening. And God, may I be responsible for taking thousands of people with me to the Bible on January 1st. May we just have thousands of people read the Bible. And may they be in the Bible. And may they let the Bible get in them. Guide our path by the Bible. I pray that as we face hardships in 2026, and all of us will, disappointing days and sorrows and homegoing of loved ones. We're sitting here today as we sat here a year ago, not knowing my brother-in-law was going to pass away, now a second one. But God, that's your plan. And I pray that God, you would provide peace for every member as we face trials. May we come to December 31st, 2026, looking back on a year of the Bible, a year of prayer, a year of just dedication to thee. And so help us to get packed up and ready to go.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.